Good morning. So here we are in June, and the theme for the month is You Hold the Key. And so we've been talking about keys the first couple of weeks, right? The first week we talked about the keys to the kingdom, and I know last week Reverend Jean talked about the keys to compassion. So I thought we'd change it up a little bit this week, and so instead of talking about the keys, now we're going to talk about the door. Okay, just change it up just a little bit. And so we're talking about the door of everything. That's the title of this talk this morning. And I have this great little book that I love dearly that's been around forever and always, as you can tell. It's called The Door of Everything by Ruby Nelson, who I don't think wrote another thing. I can't find anything else about Ruby Nelson other than she wrote this one book, and then no one ever heard about her since. So this one came out in 63. And it's just such an inspiring and uplifting book. This little teeny tiny book can change your life. It just changed the way you look at things. And I just wanted to start off with this front page that she took a quote from the Odes of Solomon, which was written sometime between the first and third centuries. They're not really quite sure, but it was kind of a companion piece to the Songs of Solomon. And this is Ode 17. And it says, I was crowned by my God. My crown is living. I received the face and the fashion of a new person, and the thought of truth led me on. I walked after it and did not wander, and all that have seen me were amazed, and I was regarded by them as a strange person. And he who knew and brought me up is the Most High in his perfection, and he glorified me by his kindness and raised my thoughts to the height of his truth. And from thence, he gave me the way of his precepts, and I opened doors that were closed, and broke in pieces the bars of iron, and my iron melted and dissolved before me. Nothing appeared closed to me, because I was the door of everything. So this is our journey. This is our journey through life. This is the transformation, really, that is the hero's journey that each one of us walk while we're alive. You know, this is the idea of the illusion of separation and then the initiation into a greater sense of aliveness and livingness. This is the gift of our oneness, and then the return. And the return is to the everyday world. Joseph Campbell said it better. He said, the hero ventures forth from the world of common day into a region of supernatural wonder. Fabulous forces are there encountered, and a decisive victory is won. The hero comes back from this mysterious adventure with the power to bestow boons on his fellow man. And that's really our journey. That is the journey of each one of us. So, I want to remind us all right now that the hero's journey is for each one of us. It's not a guy thing. It's not just a guy thing, okay? It is the archetypal masculine energy that's really within each one of us, because we contain all the archetypal feminine and masculine. That's really the mystical marriage in each one of us, right? Is to balance those energies. So this hero's journey is for all of us. And it's our journey, it's our pathway of spiritual unfoldment, isn't it? It's our pathway to discover the higher nature that lives right within us, and to live from that nature instead of from the surface mind of the everyday manifest world. So it's a process, and it's a process that we live our whole lives. And that's why I like to call it spiritual unfoldment, not spiritual enlightenment, because sometimes spiritual enlightenment sounds like a goal we get to, doesn't it? I am spiritually enlightened now. Like, I don't have to do any more work, you know? Like, I'm more enlightened than you are, you know, kind of thing. It's like, it's not a destination. It's the process of traveling the road that we're on while we're in physical bodies. And there is always more road to travel. Our whole lives, there's always more road to travel, and more stones to overturn, and more things to discover about ourselves, more paths to be traversed. So this door of everything is the journey that we take from being immersed in the physical world, right, and limited by it, to awakening to this sense of the divine that is within us, to discovering our divine inheritance, and then returning to our everyday world changed and becoming that being who truly is in the world but not of it, right? Like it says in the Bible, I'm in the world but not of it. This is the place where we can then offer our blessings to the world. You know, this is the place where Joseph Campbell said, we can now bestow our boons to mankind. We can bless the world because we have been changed and we come back with this higher level of beingness. So we begin in the world of appearances, right? We begin in the manifest world, the conditional world, the surface world, and that does not mean imaginary. You know, Ernest Holmes said the conditions of the world are as real as they have to be. They're as real as they have to be. Remember when Reverend Kathy was here last month and she said, Maya, the illusionary world, but it's as real as it needs to be. The things we have to grapple with are things we have to grapple with. They're real. They're just not truth. They're as real, Ernest Holmes used to say, they're as real as they ought to be. I love that. Poverty and war and illness, you know, the world of appearances. They're things we have to deal with on a regular basis. We know them as real facts. We know them as real facts. But there is a truth that lies behind them, right? There is a greater truth to be known through them. And you know, we know this. We know this in the quiet moments of our meditation. In the stillness, we can recall that there is a greater truth to be known, that we are greater than just our physical bodies. We are greater than just our humanness. It's like the stages of enchantment. You know, you read about the stages of enchantment when we're little kids. The world is wonder. The world is wonder. It's a place where animals talk, right? And unicorns exist, and we can fly, and there are monsters under the bed, right? And then we leave that world behind as we grow up, and we face different kinds of monsters. It's true. Hunger and plague and homelessness and bad bosses and cheating spouses and money problems, right? All kinds of different monsters. And all of that is the manifest world, the world of conditions. And yet, even through all of that, in our stillness, in our quiet moments, we remember, don't we? We remember there's something greater than this. We remember that everything in the physical realm has its origin in the invisible realm, right? Everything that we deal with in the manifest universe has its origin in the invisible realm. Why was it that all of the things that Job feared came upon him? He mulled it over in his mind, didn't he? He couldn't take his mind off of it. So his thoughts were then united with his emotions and his fears. And he created a forceful outpicturing, a forceful manifestation of the things he did not want to experience. Because that's all he could think about, was what he didn't want to have happen. It was inevitable. Where was all his energy going? Where he didn't want to have happen. What he didn't want to see happen. What he didn't want. And the universe went, okay. Because that's where all his thoughts united with his emotions, the fear that gripped him day after day after day. That's what he felt into his experience, was the thing he feared most. Losing his spouse, losing his children, losing his farm, losing his animals, losing was the fear that gripped him on a daily basis. So it outpictured. So what's our job? To know that story. It's a cautionary tale. And repent. I just wanted to say that. Repent, sinners, you know. Can I get an amen? My job here is done. Okay. Repent means to turn around. It's all it means. It means to reverse course. Repent means to turn away. Turn away from the negative thought. The negative thought that keeps rolling around in your mind. Change the negative thought into a positive thought. That's repent. That's changing. Change your mind. Walk in another direction. Because what we know is the wages of negative thinking are destruction. It's just what it is. Because it's getting what we don't want. It's manifesting what we don't want. And you know, that's usually what starts us on our spiritual path, isn't it? Some kind of pain at some level. Don't we wind up finding a place like this because there's a discomfort in us somewhere? We find a spiritual community that can help lift us out of our own doubt and fear and change our thinking. Ernest Holmes, change our thinking, change our life, right? We come to a place like this to get those tools to use so that we can do that work. We usually come here because we are in pain, or life's not working, or things aren't going well, or we feel like we're missing something in our life. There's a greater thing calling us. We're seeking a better way of fulfillment or self-actualization or something. Reverend Michael Beckwith says, the pain pushes us until the vision pulls us, right? So that's what we do. We come here maybe in pain the first couple of times because we know life can be better than this, than what we are experiencing. And so we're looking for those tools. We're calling. Ernest Holmes used to say, deep calls unto deep and deep answers. So we're calling for something bigger. And so here we are working, we're doing our little jobs and we're working our little lives. And I mean, it's not little, it could be gigantic, it's big. But we're doing all of it in the world of conditions. We're doing all of our routines, we're doing our shopping and we're doing our jobs and we're doing our family and we're doing everything at the physical level. We're thinking, we're dreaming, we're desiring. There's something more to life. And sometimes we're so busy doing the things of life that we don't hear the call because we haven't given it time. We haven't sat in the stillness. We haven't given ourselves a spiritual time out to just sit and listen. And then sometimes maybe we do. And in the stillness, we do hear the call. But we think, it can't be us. It can't be for us. They can't be talking to me. It is for you. Ha ha. It is for you and you and you and you and you and all of us. That call comes to each one of us in the stillness. And it's the call to adventure. It is the call to the hero's journey. It's the call to change our lives, to transform, to be that bigger person that we know we can be. It's a call to independent thinking, to stop listening to the voice of the world. We are not products of our environment. We are not products of our parents' thinking or of human race consciousness of the eons. Stop listening to that. You know, we're not even a product of what I say up here. You need to find your own way. We each have to find our own way. This is an independent call. This is an individualized call to adventure. You have your own path, and it's unique and individualized. It hasn't even been made yet because you've only walked so far on it. You got to keep making it as you go. If you're walking on a path that's a path, it's not your path. It was somebody else's. It was made by somebody else. You have to forge your own. So there better be weeds and fescue and all kinds of stuff. Ah, fescue. See, I was watching the U.S. Open when I was down with my dad. I know that word now. It's grass, tall grass like this. You have to forge your own path. It should be unknown because that's what we're here to do. We must find our own way. So we withdraw from the voice of the world. We withdraw from the group think, from the, well, a survey says, you know, we withdraw from the idea that human race consciousness, and we align ourselves with truth, with ultimate truth, with eternal truth, with those truths that are eternal, that have been woven through all philosophies and all religions throughout life, throughout the history of mankind. That's what Ernest Holmes did, you know. That's what he did with the science of mind philosophy. He read extensively on all the philosophies of the world and all religions of the world, and he wove together a spiritual philosophy based on the truths that were woven through all religions and all philosophies. And that's how we came to the science of mind. That's how we came to create it. So that's what we do. We withdraw from the voice of the world, and we align ourselves with these universal truths, with these principles. We stop falling under the hypnotic trance of the human race consciousness, of the world of scarcity and limitation, so that we are no longer subject to the conditions. We're no longer subject to human conditions when we stop listening to it. You know, we are threefold beings. This is what our teaching is. We are threefold beings. We are body, mind, and soul. And we need to experience all of it. you know, to experience life in it to its fullest. You know, if you're only spirit and you didn't have a body, how are you going to experience anything? You know, if you are a body but you have no mind, how are you going to decide to do anything? So all three work together: body, mind, soul. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to experience life to its fullest, right? It says in John, I love it. Okay. John 10:10, it says, I am come that they will have life and have it more abundantly, right? That's our job. That's our job here, to experience life, to live life, and to live it to its fullest, to have it more abundantly. And so there are tools that we can do to awaken us to that so that we can live that. And one of the things is to live more abundantly is to meditate on joy. Meditate on what a joy it is to be alive. There is joy in living. I think we just sang about it this morning, didn't we? I think we did. There is joy in living. Appreciating the good that's already around us. We have air conditioning. All right, think about this right now. We're in an air-conditioned room. Oh, my God. Holy moly, it's hot out there. Okay, so appreciating the good that we already have. We're sitting in really comfy, cushy chairs. I know, because I ordered these puppies. Extra wide, too. Okay? We are, you know, I mean, think about it. We've got running water. We've got bathrooms inside the facility. Oh, my God, how about that? Holy moly. You know, I mean, think of all the things that we have to appreciate around us. This is a joy. This is a joy. And what it says is if when our eye is single, right, to the glory of spirit, the whole body is filled with light. And isn't that the way you feel when you start appreciating? When you start appreciating all the good you have around you. We have food. Hey, anybody went to that pancake breakfast this morning? Okay, we had food. We have good food. Thank you so much to everybody who helped do that pancake breakfast. You know, this is appreciating the good stuff. This is why we're on our journey. We're on our journey to be healed. We come here and we fall under the illusion of separation. And so we're to be healed. We are to reveal the wholeness that has been inside of us all along. Free that imprisoned splendor that is us. And the way we do it is by appreciating everything around us. Oh, it's been inside of us all along. And when we appreciate everything, it feeds on itself, doesn't it? When you feel good about things, when you know you have more to be grateful for than to be sorry for, it just feeds on itself and it grows. And then there is more good to be thankful for. This is the be ye transformed, right, by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Seeing the good in life, pointing out all the time, reminding yourself what's good, what's right, what's colorful, what's fabulous. Spirit is always calling us to purify our minds and lift us from the surface thinking, to erase our false belief in appearances and to fill us with that unshakable faith of higher consciousness. That's why we're on this path. That's what we're here to do. Spirit wants, well, let me think about that. If spirit wants anything, I don't even know if spirit wants. Anyway, if spirit wanted anything, what it wants is for us to be fully expressed. If spirit wants anything at all, it wants us to live the whole and full life of spirit, right? To be fully manifest, to be fully self-expressed. And you know, we have to surrender something in order for that to happen. According to Thomas Merton, he says, to enter the realm of contemplation, one must, in a certain sense, die. But this death is, in fact, the entrance to a higher level. And boy, that's what we're talking about here. The entrance to a higher level. We start living from that higher level. Right? We all know the teaching symbol. We always talk about here's the level of the effect, here's the condition, here's the manifest universe, but up here is the one mind. Here is the ideal. The ideal becomes real through us and becomes a condition. But we know when we live at the top, at that tippity top of the teaching symbol that Ernest Holmes created, we know divine mind up there has the absolute realm, joy and love and peace and power and wisdom and all the rest of those qualities of God. And when we live from there, we begin living those ascension attitudes. Those ascension attitudes that are in this book, right here, this little book. Because what we know is that what it says in the Bible, right? He who loses his life shall find it. That's what we're talking about. That's what Thomas Merton was talking about. Letting go of the physical life that we know of, the limitations and the suffering and the problems, and living from the top of the teaching symbol, living from first cause, living from these ascension attitudes. We die to the old, and we live this new way in the world. We become that. We become that thing. Ernest Holmes said this in this thing called You. He said, when a problem confronts you, take it into the silence of your consciousness. But instead of thinking of the problem, think of the answer. God does not have problems. Say that with me. God does not have problems. Okay, he goes on to say, therefore, divine mind is the answer to every human problem. Principles don't have problems. Say that with me. Principles do not have problems. Problems are solved by bringing them under the control of principle. The problem is dissolved as principle flows through it to the correct answer. So as we evolve, as we choose these ascension attitudes and we begin to live from them, we become that blessing to the world. We become that boon to mankind that Joseph Campbell was talking about. And those ascension attitudes, let me read to you what they are. Those ascension attitudes, love, praise, and gratitude, arising from your heart center in silent expectancy, these are the three ascension attitudes. Those focused attitudes of mind that exalt your feelings toward the Christ consciousness. Everything that gets you in touch of the Christ consciousness within you, that is an ascension attitude. That is the truth of your being. That's who you and who and what you are truly, and why you are here and what you're here to do. So we ground ourselves in these ascension attitudes through practice. We just have to practice them every day. Love, praise, gratitude. We have to practice them every day. Meditation, visioning, prayer. But I'm not talking about old-fashioned prayer, right? What am I talking about? I'm talking about this up-leveled prayer. I'm talking about the prayer of the ascension attitudes. I know it's in here someplace, but I don't know if I can find it. Wait, I found it. Contrary to human race belief, prayer is not words you hastily repeat under conditions of stress. And I am suddenly remembered, right, by my surface mind. Prayer is the intense, predominant attitude which your mind and feelings have indulged about the thing important to you. Okay? So if we pray quickly just to get bailed out, like we have a tendency to do, right? We treat prayer very much like a triage, you know? Oh, crap, I'm in trouble. Let me go pray. Quick, let me pray. Okay, fine, now it's good. I'm done, you know? And then we forget about it. What's our prayer? You know, if we go around for the rest of the day complaining about what I went through, oh, wait, you think you have it bad? Let me tell you, right? We pray the rest of the day. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. If we pray for help just to get bailed out, and then we revert to negativity, to fear, to doubt, which is our prayer? Which is our prayer? Spirit only knows the predominant attitude. So we cannot soar through the door of everything if we are weighed down by false beliefs. It's just not going to happen. So these three ascension attitudes, love being the first one, right? Love. Love, 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 love. Love must fill our minds. This is this universal, I mean, it's taught in every single faith and philosophy since humans walked the earth, that love is the answer, right? Love, filling our hearts and minds with love. Love, love, love. Love for all creations. No one can be excluded from our heart of love. Wow, don't we have a really good practice right now? No one can be excluded from our heart of love. We cannot be the door of everything while existing in a world of duality. We cannot exclude anyone from our heart of love. And Love for all does not mean we are trying to change anybody. Love for all does not mean trying to change them, trying to educate them, trying to get them to see it your way, or trying to make them see the error of their ways. That has nothing to do with it. We are here to be the light. When we are living the ascension attitudes, we are here to be the light. We just are here to shine, 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 shine. You know, there's an old quote, and I don't remember who said it, but, you know, a lighthouse doesn't run around the island looking for boats to save. Right? It just stands there on the shore, and it just shines. And boats find their way because of it. And so that's what we do in the world. We're not here to save anybody, to run around and to witness or to make people see it our way or to show them the error of their ways, because we're really good at doing that. You know what you're doing wrong. You know, it's like, we're not here to do that. We're here to shine. We are here to shine and be the light, and that's it. And what happens when we do that, when we love them unconditionally, what happens? They transform in our presence, right? They transform in our presence. Or they can't stand the light and they kind of move away. You know, one or the other. People transform in our presence just because we shine the light of unconditional love. And we let it be safe and okay for others to transform in our presence. The second ascension attitude is praise. We are instructed to keep our minds focused on our Christ consciousness, and inner peace will take over. Isn't that a wonderful gift? We are here to practice the Christ consciousness within us, to remember who we are, to be the light of the world, and inner peace takes over. Think of the lilies of the field, right? That story about they don't struggle, they don't strain, they don't stress, they don't worry about where their next meal is coming from because everything is supplied. No worries, no stress. Spirit provides for all of our need, right? What is that? I don't know why that came to me. There's an old saying about Spirit supplies for all of our need, just not all of our greed, right? Spirit supplies who? Oh, Gandhi, thank you. Thank you. Gandhi. Yes, there is enough for our needs. Right. All of our needs, just not all of our greed. Okay, so that's it. Spirit provides everything. Spirit is providing everything in our life. You don't think about, is there going to be enough air to breathe in the room when I get here? I don't know if there's going to be enough air to breathe, right? We don't think about that. We don't think about how many, you know, am I going to be able to digest the food I eat after service? I don't know. I don't know if my stomach, you know, it's like we don't question these things. They just happen. Our digestion supports us. You know, I don't know. Is my ATP going to have enough energy to move my muscles this morning? Not sure. We just take it for granted. We've got more than we need, and Spirit supplies more than we need. There is more air to breathe, right? We know this. We know that we are taken care of through Spirit. Everywhere we look, everything we see is an abundance of all things. There's an abundance of blades of grass. There's an abundance of grains of sand, trees, birds, buses, paved roads. Oh my gosh. Food on our plates. We are fortunate we live in this country. Food on our plates. Cake. Ooh, cake. Is there cake afterward? Oh, no cake. I'm leaving. Okay. Cake. We'll find cake somewhere. Everywhere we look, there are things to praise. There are things to praise. Oh my God. Praise and raise everything that happens in our lives. And it's not only stuff. You know, we have an abundance of love. We have an abundance of smiles. We have an abundance of help. We live in an abundant universe. Spirit is in charge and all is well. And so we praise and raise everything in our lives, even if we don't know why it's there. Do you ever have one of those moments? The heck is that? You know, but praise it anyway, even if we don't know why it's there, even if it doesn't even look good. Even if it doesn't look good, you know. Praise it anyway, because sometimes we don't understand why it's there, you know. It's what we tell the practitioners, you know, when they sit in front of a client, they're like, I have no opinion on this whatsoever. That's their attitude when they're sitting with a client. I have no opinion on this whatsoever. This is just story, a story. When we'll listen and we'll pray, yay. And then the truth is revealed. So that's in itself praise. It's like we don't condemn anything. We just, I don't know why, but there it is. The third ascension attitude is gratitude, and we know this one. We're really familiar with gratitude, right? The attitude of gratitude. Contemplating our problems and how to solve them reduces our vision to the level of the condition. See, okay, you with me? When we keep looking at the problem and we keep trying to solve the problem, we are reducing our vision to the level of the problem. Okay? Gratitude gives thanks in all things. Gratitude lifts us from the level of the problem to the best possible outcome, whatever that is. And we may not know what that is, but our very attitude lifts us up and brings us into that realm of all possibilities. Gratitude gives thanks for everything. Everything. Gratitude gives thanks for our senses, right? Our five senses are grounded in the world of condition, right? We can see only because the energy, which is light, goes into our retina and gets bounced off the back of our eyeball and through the optic nerve and into our brain, which is, of course, and then the picture is upside down, and then your brain makes sense of it and turns it right side up so that we can understand the world around us. Okay, that's all done by energy. We can so be grateful for that. And we can smell. We can smell when hospitality is doing something good out there, right? It's like, when is she going to shut up? I want food. Right? Right? Okay. You know, and the sense of touch and the sense of smell and all of those things, yeah, we're grounded in the physical world of conditions, but we can be grateful for it. Grateful to enjoy the food we have. Grateful to you know, look outside and see a beautiful San Diego day and it's not raining like it is in Florida every day. Right? We can be grateful for all of this stuff. And I'm really actually grateful for the rain, too, because it was amazing to have 9 out of 10 days be raining. The grass loved it. The trees were singing. It was a joy. Anyway, we give thanks through our senses. We give thanks that our bodies digest food and turn it into energy. How awesome is that? The energy is that we can walk around and we can talk to each other and we can see and hear and touch things. You know, our bodies are just a marvel of energy producing madness. I love it. And we can be grateful for all of that. Because we explore this physical world through our senses, don't we? I mean, that's all we've got at this level of the condition. So we weave these ascension attitudes into our daily life. Love, praise, gratitude. We just weave them into our daily life. We are all love. We just be nothing but love. We praise everything around us. We express gratitude for all things. We are in awe of life. And the more we decide to be grateful for things, the more things we discover that we are grateful for, right? It builds on itself. It's wonderful. And so in addition to these three ascension attitudes, it's like, okay, so these are great. These are three things. Those are three things I can practice. What helps me along the way? What helps me along the way? And so the door of everything will be open to us as we practice these ascension attitudes, but yet we need supporting attitudes that will help us along this journey. And one of the supporting attitudes is right thinking, or I would say righteous judgment, but not judgment, righteous discernment. We cannot express true love, praise, and gratitude while silently judging our friends and neighbors and bosses and the government and co-workers and politics and this and that. We cannot be silently judging. Oh, they did that wrong. They shouldn't be doing that. Do you know how bad that came? You know, we do that all the time. We engage in these conversations, right? On how things went wrong and how somebody else was wrong and how it shouldn't be happening that way and whatever, you know? We cannot actively practice love, praise, and gratitude while holding people wrong. What we do is we take those people into our prayer work. We take them into our prayer work day after day after day, if that's what it takes. We take them into our prayer work until we see them as God sees them. There's a practice for you. We take them into our prayer work until we can see them as God sees them. And how does God see them? Innocent, whole, perfect, and complete. Whole, perfect, and complete, right? We claim that for ourselves. We cannot shut the door on it for someone else. Whole, perfect, and complete. So we pray them until we see them as God sees them. Again, it goes back to that we cannot keep our eyes single and our bodies filled with light. We cannot keep our eyes single while we're silently persecuting our brothers. Oh my God, is he telling me to shut up? Yeah. Thank you, John. I've gone too far into the land where nothing is funny. Wait, 5 minutes, I promise, 5 minutes. Okay, look, we cannot go to the altar. We cannot go to the altar and receive our good while silently condemning somebody else that's around us. We can't do that. We have to then go and settle the grievance with our brother and sister and then receive our blessing. Right? We can't live from those ascension attitudes while we're holding somebody outside of our circle of love. Okay? And so faith is the other attitude. So a righteous judgment is one, faith is the other one. And faith, look, anybody can have faith in shit. I'm sorry. Now you're making me go fast. Oh, damn, I hate when that happens. Anybody can have faith in stuff that has already happened, right? You know, anybody can have faith in things that have already taken place. Anybody can believe in inventions and discoveries that have already been proven. Anybody can believe in an obvious God when the impossible has been left out. Faith is believing without proof. Faith is believing before it happens. And we use faith all the time, man. And I gotta tell you, a lot of times we use faith to condemn ourselves. We use faith to limit ourselves. We use faith to claim our limitations, right? We must learn to use faith and allow the best to be demonstrated. We need to have faith in the best possible outcome and allow that. You know, it says here, the greatest deterrent to our ability to live upward is doubt. That unstable, wavering attitude that keeps the positive from, keeps that positive heart from overflowing. It is the doubt that crushes us down to the level of condition. You know, anybody can talk about hard times around the corner, but faith talks about perfection around the corner. And we have to know that. It says you don't need faith to exercise your ability, wait, you do not need to exercise faith in your ability to perform miracles. For if you will only exercise enough faith to lift your consciousness to that higher level, to those ascension attitudes, the miracles will take care of themselves. We ascend to a higher level. We live from the Christ consciousness. We find ourselves in grace. We are the light of the world. Say that. We are the light of the world. Say that. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Life flows. We see the good all around us. Meditation is the third supporting attitude. Even the shortcomings of our lives, even the unskilled behavior of our lives are not strong enough to keep spirit from lifting us up through the door of everything. If we practice those ascension attitudes and we use these supporting attitudes as our tools to get us there, even the most unskilled of us cannot help but be lifted by spirit through the door of everything. We touch this peace of mind. We go back to it every time we meditate. Eventually, it becomes our surface mind, and we are that in the world 24/7. We stand still. We just practice those ascension attitudes. We don't let our personal agenda get in the way. This is what I want. No, don't worry about what you want. Worry about what God wants. Allow that to flow through us. We learn to put spirit first in everything we do. Love, praise, gratitude guides us. We do become the door of everything with love. And all things are love. Just like in white contains all colors, love contains all blessings, right? Love contains everything there, everything. All the barriers of separation and judgments fall away, and we stand naked and unafraid as undefended beings of love. That's what we do. That's what we do in this world. That's us. We cross through the door of everything. We become the door of everything. We allow people to transform in our presence. And then at the end of the book, it says this. It says, meet me just inside the door of everything in the timeless realm of being, where all the perfect qualities of our perfect grand cosmic self will intersect and blend into one precious jewel. And that is the precious jewel of love. Thank you so much.